The economy is still rebounding. Seasonal jobs on the Cape and Islands are ending, and the cold weather will be upon us shortly. These factors make it difficult for many to afford food, pay for utilities, or purchase clothes and school supplies for their children. The Barnstable County Department of Human Services estimates that 1 in 4 Cape Cod residents has sought food assistance from a food pantry within the last year. Joining us to talk about the resources available and how area food pantries are working to meet a growing need is Brenda Swain, Executive Director of the Falmouth Service Center. Good morning, Brenda.
Good morning, Mindy.
And Mary Anderson, the Executive Director of the Family Pantry of Cape Cod. Good morning to you.
Thanks, Mindy.
All right, so there's always been a need for pantries and clothing assistance programs. But with this economic downturn we saw in 2008, we really saw a spike in seeking assistance. And Brenda, we've talked about this before. The people who were volunteering are now showing up to, you know, seeking some help. I mean, this has really kind of hit everybody. So you've been keeping some records of what you've been seeing on those increases. Fill us in.
Okay. Well, Mindy, both Mary and I have seen Cape-wide huge spikes since 2008. But I think that really what's changed is the face of the people that we're seeing. You know, there's always been a need, and there will continue to be a need. But now we're seeing people who used to donate also coming in to get the food that they brought before. And it's people who were working hard. A lot of middle management folks are not any longer being having jobs to work at. There's also huge increases in people who are seeking disability because of health issues that they're seeing. And I think that the cost of living has risen so much that the rent and utility costs have also gone up, as well as food. So being able to pay your bills, budgeting in coming to the food pantry is part of what you need to do in order to survive here on the Cape. So we've seen, actually I have some statistics from 2005 to 2011, where we saw an increase in household visits just at the service center of 89%. In 1 year, we had almost 7,000 visits, and in 2005, and then in 2011, we had close to 13,000 household visits. Mm. So, you know, in bags of food, in 2011, we gave out 33,000. In 2005, it was 15,000.
Mm, wow.
So, you know, much of what Mary and I are doing now is a result of huge increases in the past 4 years specifically, that we've done some strategic planning and looking ahead, because we don't see it getting better anytime soon.
Right. And you're nodding your head, Mary, so this is what you're seeing as well.
The numbers are fairly consistent with what Brenda has expressed. 5 years ago, we were seeing on average 600 households a month, and this year we'll probably end closer to 1,200 households a month. So it's doubled.
Right.
And, you know, back when I worked in corporate America, you wanted to see your numbers double. But as a director of a nonprofit, you know, your goal really is to find a solution so that people don't need the pantry. So to see those kind of numbers is a little intimidating.
Right. And also there are people who may, like you say, have been donating or volunteering or helping on one side, and now they're coming and asking. And for a lot of people, this is really difficult, especially for senior citizens who there's a young family who probably needs it more than I do. And,
yeah,
and that's
right.
That's another barrier we have to get over, is to get the
Absolutely.
People who need this food to actually come in
right.
and ask for it.
I think
and,
that's the hardest move, that first day walking through the door to a pantry. I get a lot of calls. People want to know, do they need an appointment, which they do not. And you can just tell on the phone that stress level. I've never had to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's because my husband lost his job and I've been sick.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just feel that stress in that phone call.
Right.
And you're right, on the older folks, I think it's even harder for the older generation.
Mm-hmm. And, when they walk in that first time and you sit with them and you get some basic information, one of the most important things I think we all do is show them the food that we have and let them know it's our job to get this food, to always have enough. And it's their job to take it to feed themselves and their family.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we want them to do. That's what we're there for.
Mm-hmm.
And so that they don't, you can't get rid of that feeling for them,
right.
but you try to let them know that that's what we were created
right.
to be. We
Correct.
Were here for
right.
them.
You shouldn't feel bad about
right.
doing that.
Right.
Yeah.
We just did a paper plate campaign for the Boston Food Bank. If you think of us as a retail pantry, they're the wholesale pantry in Boston that we all get food from. And they wanted simple, the white, cheap paper plates and have clients write down what the pantry means to them and how it helps them. They're eventually going to the State House in Boston. But some of those stories were pretty compelling.
So touching. And I had one lady who wrote, do you mind if I just
share? No, absolutely.
She's a single mom with three daughters, and she wrote on her plate that because of the Falmouth Service Center, at the end of the month now, she doesn't have to go hungry because she always made sure her daughters ate first. Now she knows that she'll meet her nutritional needs too. And I was like, whew. That really says it. It
sure the other does. Thing, I took the pile of plates to my board meeting a week or so ago because I just thought it'd be interesting for them to read them. And one of the comments one of the board members made was reading them really is a good lesson, and this can be anyone. The common misconception that it's people who are uneducated. There were some very educated people. One woman's writing that her mother's 90, and she's a senior as well, and she hopes that when she no longer has to care for her mother that she can be back working and be a volunteer at the pantry. You know, things like that. Right. This is, it can be anyone. Right.
Well, this would say 25% of households in Barnstable County sought help with food insecurity during the last year. And this is another, we all interact with people who are part of those 25%. Could be the cashier you see at the grocery store who's a single mom, you know, your neighbor. You can't look at somebody and know what their financial situation is.
Absolutely not. And you know, I think sometimes we see people who don't come to us for food because we also do financial assistance, and maybe they can't pay their mortgage or they can't keep the lights on. So they come in and they don't want to take the food. They, you know, somebody else needs it more than they do. But we help them understand that, you know, at this time, it has to be part of your budget to get this food so you can pay your own mortgage and you can do that. But you're absolutely right. You go to when I used to have kids in the schools, my youngest is 24 now, but I would walk through the halls at the open house, and every sixth, seventh person would be somebody I knew who either needed help, was providing help, you know, and that changes from week to week. Sometimes you can give and sometimes you need to have help.
Right. And you mentioned that the changing face. Has the demographics of who's coming changed?
A few years ago, one of the things that many of us noted was we were getting a lot of single men. And that, I don't think it's, that's still increasing, but I would say it was in that 2008-2009 timeframe. Fairly young, and they were laid off or workman's comp and unable to get back to work. The other thing that struck me, I'm not in this business quite as long as Brenda, is that I would say two-thirds of the people that come to the pantry, someone has a job. Often both adults have a job, and they just don't quite make enough.
And sometimes they have two and three jobs. And no benefits. So it's those, you know, underemployed. They're working, but they just can't meet their bills or their expenses in an area that's a resort community.
And then, of course, have any kind of family emergency, whether it's health or the refrigerator breaks or the car.
That does them in.
It's always the car.
We're talking about food pantries and keeping up with the need. 866-999-4626 is our toll-free number if you'd like to join our conversation. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@wgbh.org. So you are co-chairs of the Cape Cod Hunger Network. Tell us what the Cape Cod Hunger Network is, what you do.
It's an organization that started, I began in 2002 to work at the service center, and there were meetings back then. We met once a month, and everyone... once a year. You're right,
Mary. You're too busy to
That's right. Absolutely. Once a year, pantries from across the Cape with representatives from Project Bread and the Greater Boston Food Bank, both Boston-based organizations that help with food insecurity issues. And we sat around the table and sort of talked about what we were seeing. And that was all that happened at the first meeting I went to. And I'm the kind of person who sort of needs to have an action plan of, okay, it's nice we see what we're doing, but what can we do? What gaps do we see? What can we make a difference for people who are facing these issues. So, Anna, I'd say the next year we began to meet more regularly. We changed to quarterly, and we developed some subcommittees and some action plans, and we've done quite a bit of work to help look at hunger through the hungry person's eyes here on Cape Cod. So whenever we make a decision or write a grant or do a project, it's to fill a gap or a need that we see here on the Cape. An example of an early one of those projects was we wrote three grants that were funded from various sources to purchase large walk-in freezers that are located in several areas across the Cape that are shared by many small pantries who don't have the space at their place to have a freezer like that. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if the Greater Boston Food Bank, which Mary explained was the wholesaler that we get our food from, would come on our pick list for free, they couldn't take it because they had nowhere to put it. Mm. Now they can take it, put it in the freezer, and on the day of their distribution, provide that food for their clients, no matter what town they live in. So that sort of provided equity to all people who are hungry throughout the Cape. That was an early project, and Mary can talk a little bit more about some more recent ones.
One of the things that we did recently, Calvary Baptist, which is back in the news this morning, their old church had a devastating fire back in the summertime. And they demolished it today. But what we did to fill that gap is we ran a mobile pantry on the site of Calvary Baptist for 4 months. Mm-hmm. It involved Brenda and I working with the Boston Food Bank to get a separate order for Calvary, setting up some volunteers, getting the food there. So we did that 4 months in a row. And in addition to getting the food out, we made sure that everyone that came there had our brochure mm-hmm. and knew all the other pantries to go to. So that's another recent Hunger Network event.
Can you talk about Cook Well, Eat Well, Live Well?
Our most recent grant was from the Belzikian Foundation to develop a nutrition education program for the pantries. This was something that we were all very excited about, but it took us a while to find a funder. So mm-hmm. we're very grateful to the Belzikian Foundation. The Barnstable County Extension Service nutritionist Kim Conkra did the lion's share of the work on it, pulling together nutrition education modules on things like hypertension, obesity, diabetes.
Cooking
with pantry foods, mm-hmm. you know, the things that they'd most likely have from the pantries. So it's now a video. It's a website. And it's a book, both an education part and a cookbook part. And it's been distributed to all of the pantries on the Cape so that they can conduct their own training within the pantry, both the volunteers and the clients.
Mm. She just came to Thelma Service Center last week and trained almost 30 volunteers who then can, when they're at the counter with a client, say, okay, here's a soup that's high in sodium. What can you do to this? Based on the training they got with mm-hmm. Kim, and we have cookbooks that we can provide to clients. It's very exciting because we can't often change the types of food that we have, but we can help them make it healthier.
Make it healthier, exactly.
Right.
We've come so far when you think about what we used to do at the food pantries, what you could take, what you couldn't take, and we hear about all this incredible amount of food that's thrown away from restaurants and grocery stores, which at one time you couldn't take, but now we're collaborating with, I know, grocery stores, restaurants too, or just grocery stores?
Both.
So tell us a little about that.
Well, one of the things I'm very excited about with the renovations that we've done, and we haven't talked about that yet,
but
we have a commercial kitchen now so that we can really repackage things, and Mary has a kitchen where she can she has a kitchen, but she doesn't repackage. But we can take things that caterers have kept in, held by ServSafe regulation in their refrigerator or their freezer, and we can repackage them into smaller sizes to then freeze and distribute to our clients. So we do encourage any caterers that are out there to call us because we're always open to doing that. Right. But the grocery stores, the food bank started a rescue meat program where they work with 22 grocery stores who, when the meat goes out of code, they mm-hmm. freeze it.
The day before it goes out of
code.
Right,
so that it's still wholesome and good. And then we can purchase purchase that from the food bank for $5 a box, a banana box. So we're able to then distribute that. And there are many other retailers locally in all the communities across the Cape, especially with bread products that recycle. They don't recycle, but they make sure not to throw it away. They find a pantry that they can contribute it to.
Another one is Trader Joe's up in Hyannis. They have a pickup schedule for each day. There are one or two pantries that have a time slot to go and pick up product. It's fabulous product, it's at no charge.
That's lots of fresh vegetables.
Right.
Yeah. And that's another thing you didn't used to be able to do was the produce and the fresh vegetables. You've set up relationships with other nonprofits like Capabilities, which has got a lot to do with the produce. Tell us about that.
We've just set up a partnership with Capabilities. They have their own huge garden over on 6A, and we now have a production garden in back of the pantry that we're producing vegetables, and they're going to send a group once a week to help us work the garden. So it's fabulous. They have gardening skills. Some of them probably know more about gardening than we do, and we've now got the garden. It was very successful this year. We produced over 4,000 pounds of organic vegetables.
Wow. We should just mention, while we're mentioning Capabilities, they have a benefit concert coming up on October 14th at the Barnstable Performing Arts Center. Young at Heart Chorus. I've not heard, but they're between 70 and 90 years old, and they sing rock music. Sounds fascinating. So, but you can check that on the Capabilities website. All the info is there.
I think that community gardening is something that's spread throughout the Cape. Most pantries, I know we have one also, and half of what people grow comes to the garden, so it's a way for community members to give back. Right. But it's also a way for clients to help. 25% of our gardeners are clients. So they can keep some for themselves and then help other people who need
it. How does the community garden work? Is it, you know, going into the pantry, or does it go home with the gardeners? And it's a little bit of both.
And each garden works a little differently. Mary was saying hers is a production.
The big portion of it is a production garden. So that is run by our volunteers. And we had an intern, Sarah Weller, managing that garden for us this summer. So that's the lion's share. But then there was a smaller section, and we had 14 plots that anyone in the community could take. And they share the produce with us. They take half, give us half.
Oh, that's a good deal. Yeah.
So we have a little bit of both.
Yeah. Falmouth Service Center and Family Pantry of Cape Cod, which is in Harwich. We didn't mention that. The two biggest food pantries on the Cape. You provide more than just food. So let's talk a little bit about some of the other services. We're coming into the winter months, and fuel assistance is a big part of what you do as well.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Before we just launch into that, I think when you say more than food, that's so important, because it's also the relationship that the volunteers have with the people who come in for the food or the other services.
Right, that they get to.
It's that connection with people who care. And it's, you know, neighbors helping neighbors, I think, throughout the Cape, so that when they come in the door, they feel respected, treated with dignity, and know that it's a place that they can get the help they need, whatever services they're coming for.
That came across, Brenda, also on the paper plate campaign. Yeah. Several of the comments were not just about the food, but that they loved the way the volunteers welcome them and treat them kindly.
We would be nowhere without our volunteers.
Yeah. That's true.
Well, it's on my list here.
Okay,
because,
we'll get to it.
But let's talk about what else services.
The other services, we both have clothing areas, little clothing stores, and that clothing is all donated, and it's also free of charge. And then we both take applications for both fuel assistance and food stamps, which are adjuncts. And then Brenda has also financial assistance. We do not. One of the big differences between us is Brenda serves a smaller geographic area, but also does the financial assistance. The Family Pantry serves all of the Cape, but we do not do financial. We refer them to the Needy Fund or the Lower Cape. I'm losing my words
outreach
there. Outreach Council for the financial part.
I think also we do Mass Health drop-in with Community Health Center in Mashpee. And I think part of the reason that we worked on our renovation was to be able to partner more with agencies that are located in Hyannis or other areas of the Cape to bring services to the Upper Cape that may not be as accessible.
Right.
So that's all. You know, we do a lot of workshops today. There's a family law workshop being offered by WECAN in Falmouth so that clients who before had to travel to Harwich can now get those services on the Upper Cape.
Well, I just wrote down collaboration because that is so key. And going back to the beginning, of the of all of the food pantries getting together for to find out what you each are doing, that set up the groundwork for collaborating so that when you have clients who come in, like Mary, when somebody comes in and you don't have that program that helps their particular need, you can send them somewhere else. And,
correct.
And so connected, having all of you guys connected and knowing who provides what has been really key to your growth.
I think there's a couple of organizations that help with that. One is the Hunger Network, obviously, is a huge connector. But then we also share a seat. Brenda is the representative of the Hunger Network on the Barnstable County Human Services Advisory Council. It's a mouthful, but it's a fabulous group.
Right.
Beth Albert brings together all of the human services components on the Cape, and that connection helps
Absolutely.
Us as well.
Right.
I'm her alternate, but I will confess she's much more good at going to the meetings than I.
Right. All right, you mentioned volunteers, and any nonprofit knows the lion's share of the work is a lot of times undertaken by the volunteers. And you guys have, you really rely on volunteers. You've got great volunteers, but you're always looking for more, right?
Absolutely. I think it's true both of Mary's program and ours that we have very limited paid staff. Mary and I are both full-time, and then we have a couple other people who are part-time.
Correct.
Other than that, yeah. All the food distribution, the food stamps, the fuel assistance appointments, everything else happens because of our incredible volunteers. We would not be able to open our doors every day without those people.
Yeah. We are 300-plus regular volunteers. It's hard to keep track of them because they come and go. But 300 regular, so that means they're there every week for at least 3 hours, and some of them are there for a lot more than 3 hours. Then there's probably another 100 that I call occasional, that if there's a special project, they're on a list that they can be called to come in to either backfill or special projects.
Yeah. I echo Mary. We're around four something.
Yeah.
You both have, both your organizations have completed strategic plans that led to major renovations. And we sort of just touched on that a minute ago, Brenda. So talk a little bit about how you're changing and growing. And Mary, let's start with you.
Okay. The strategic plan didn't drive us as much to the renovation as the fact that we had outgrown our space. The building that we're in, which we own, we've been in for 14 years. And although it's plenty big, it's 12,000 square feet, the interior rooms were designed back when we were seeing way less clients. So they were small, they were crowded, there was one way in and out. So it was that that really drove us. I think strategic planning was kind of the frosting on the cake, because we had talked about it. The 7 years I've been there, we've been talking about it. And finally, strategic planning was like, what are the two or three things that we really need to do? And this bubbled up to the top. That as well as adding a little bit of part-time staff. So we've made the pantry room larger, one door in, one door out. Shelves that can be loaded from the back. It's just made a world of efficiency in how it's laid out. Similar with the clothing. We now do have Brenda mentioned, we do have a kitchen. Ours is a very rudimentary kitchen. We are not yet ready to do any type of meals, but that's for the future.
Right. But you could go that way.
We could go that way.
Kitchen.
That's okay. Right. Yeah. That's right. And what I call a multi-purpose room, like the schools have, where we can run programs. We just had our first class there. Gary from the Boston Food Bank came down to train on our new food ordering system. We had 28 people in our new multi-purpose room for the class. It was fabulous.
Okay. Brenda, tell us about the service center.
Sure. Well, the service center, as you know, has been around since 1983, moved four times in 20 years. And then in 2002, we built a building that we thought, hey, this building will take care of everything forever. But just like Mary, what we found in the last 10 plus years is that every single nook and cranny was full. And when we were open to distribute food, the carriages were banging into each other. People had nowhere to sit or to wait. And it was just way too crowded and not efficient in the way that we were using our space. We had an upstairs space that was one big open room. And our pantry was very crowded. And our clothing room was sort of within our pantry. So what we've done is we've moved all of our intake, food stamps, fuel assistance, everything like that is now upstairs in four private clients-centered spaces that have doors that you can close. Mm-hmm. So there's real privacy for people when they're talking about their social security numbers and other things like that. And there's a conference room in the middle of that space. Integrata Architecture was the architect who helped us design the space. So it's still very open. Everything has glass on the top so you can see the windows either side, but there's the privacy mm-hmm. that's so necessary. So that freed up space downstairs. We were able to knock out the room that used to be the clothing room and expand where we distribute food. So now we have three times as much space to distribute mm-hmm. food. We have three counters instead of one. So five volunteers can work with clients at the same time.
And you have a kitchen.
And we have a big, huge production kitchen. We used to have two little household stoves and a refrigerator. Mm. Now we have convection ovens, a huge kettle you can make stew and soup in. And we're making meals for home delivery and for people who are living in motels who may not have stoves, who can't take, you know, the whole chicken, mm-hmm. but they can take something that they can heat up in a microwave. And we're starting community dinners that won't be served on site, but will happen once a month at the John Wesley Church. First one is October 17th from 4 to 6.
Wow.
So it's exciting because it helps us to know that we can better serve the people who have been coming and those who will need us in the future.
Right. And you've done a lot to be a little more green, so reducing energy costs, improving your carbon footprint. There's a lot that's gone into all of this. We have the holidays just around the corner. I want to remind people to be thinking about that. But of course, we usually do shows like this around the holidays when people are in that giving mood. But you need the help year round.
Absolutely.
So once the holidays get past, let's not forget the food pantries and all that.
I always love the phone call I'll get like right after Thanksgiving and, I meant to come and bring something, or right after the first of the year. And it's always nice to be able to say any time of year help is helpful.
All right. And Brenda, you have an open house so people can come and see what you've done at the Service Center October 14th from 4 to 6. And we're going to put links to both your websites on our website so folks can know where to contact you to find out about the services that you have. Thanks so much for coming in and sharing what you do with us.
Great. Thank you, Mandy.
All right, Brenda Swain from Falmouth Service Center and Mary Anderson, Falmouth Pantry of Cape Cod. I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
The Point airs weekdays at 9:30 a.m. and 7:30 p.m. We're also on Facebook at The Point WCAI. The Point is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Dan Treidle and Jenny Junker. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter. The Point is a production of the Cape and Islands NPR station, a service of WGBH.